And welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Professor David Vines, Professor of Economics from Oxford University. Hello.
Hi, Kate.
And David is doing a lecture as part of Oxford May Music. Is it talk or lecture? How would you describe it?
Bit of both.
Okay.
It's about the financial crisis, why we had it, and why its effects have taken so long not to go away. Why 8 years after 2008 we're still hanging around waiting for the recovery. The answer is we didn't expect it and we don't know what to do about it. And here I am, an economist, saying that. It's a plague on our houses for not understanding why things went wrong. And you might well say that it's a plague on the houses of policymakers for not doing better over the last few years. And I'm one of those who think there's much we could have done better.
So what are we going to do?
It means having a policy that really gives people confidence that there's a recovery happening. So if you look around the world at collapsed commodity prices, uncertainty about what's happening in China, and you look around Europe at the migration problem and close to home Brexit, uncertainty is what's holding us back. Ever since the crisis, there's been a politics of uncertainty too. And until we have a clearer sense that we're being led, which we don't have at this moment in this country, people are holding back. Investment is low and people are putting off purchases of regular stuff. That's holding us back.
In your talk, do you explore why there was a crisis?
It was an outcome of very misguided deregulation of the financial markets. After the 1930s, the crisis then, it was learned that speculative banking is a very different activity from high street, what would be called in the US Main Street banking, current accounts, payments from one person to another, mortgages, pensions, straightforward things. But there's always been a world of investment bankers doing deals, lending money for speculative projects. And the big thing that happened in the period from the late 90s onwards, these two kinds of banking were merged, and the deal makers took over regular banking. And those who supplied regular banking wanted to get on the act of getting paid better, even if it meant selling risky things to people who, if you ask them deep down, is it right that this should be sold? Payments protection insurance, a good example. Should you be selling this? And the answer was, well, that's somebody else's problem. For the people doing it and for the managers of the banking system, it was always somebody else's problem.
Hmm.
And there's a belief, which I didn't share, but grew out of the University of Chicago and popular belief that markets are efficient and will guide the economy well. And it led, as we all know, to lighter regulation, and that led, as we know, to the crisis that we saw.
Hmm.
It was coupled by a looser regulation coupled with this sense that I've described, that these aren't things for which I'm responsible. 25, 50 years ago, banking and finance was what you might call, in old-fashioned language, an honourable profession. People did things that they thought were trustworthy, and they thought it was their job not to allow people to borrow too much and not to lend for speculative deals. The pursuit of straightforward cash by people who went into banking made a real difference. I'm an economist, not an engineer, but I think of people who work for Rolls-Royce are proud of making engines for aeroplanes that work well. They just don't do their job for the money. And you ask, what do people who work in finance do? And the answer is, quite a lot of them, it's be proud of making money.
Yeah.
And that's not having a professional service that's of value in the way that my teaching, a doctor, a lawyer, those professions are full of people with a sense of how to do things well. So here I am, I'm telling you, deregulation was done in a way too much for what was appropriate in a world where people who worked in the industry didn't feel they were as responsible. Potent mixture. You don't control stuff, and people that you don't control then get on with it, and get on with it in a rather bad way.
Is there any hope for bankers? Can it ever be an honourable profession again?
I think so, but it's a job of work that's why I'm talking to you. I'm working on this stuff. You look at the medical profession and the NHS that we're proud of. Medical education in the late 19th century, bunch of shonks doing medicine, all sorts of fraudulent stuff that killed people.
Yeah.
And medical education, I always thought it was difficult because you had to learn a lot of bones, but partly it was difficult in order to keep a barrier against the fraud.
The charlatans.
Keep out the charlatans, exactly. And not only was it a barrier, but inside the barrier, people were taught what the Hippocratic Oath really meant. I am a doctor, I don't do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The Dutch have just introduced an oath for those in finance.
Oh.
I am a financier, and I don't do that sort of stuff.
Brilliant.
We're all watching to see what difference this makes. And clearly that on itself, it doesn't make the difference. It's the culture where people believe that that's what they've signed up to do that really makes a difference.
Okay. Brilliant. This is really fascinating stuff. I didn't think I was particularly into economics.
Well,
I didn't realise it was so political, in a sense.
Here I am. You can't see me. I'm how do they say politely? Now I'm late middle-aged. I've spent all of my life doing technical economics about exchange rates and international finance and all the stuff that people think that economists make sound rather complicated and probably isn't really interesting. I walked into this work after the financial crisis thinking, what can someone like me do to bring some knowledge of how to help fix this? And it's ended up being, as you say, fascinating, because I've ended up working with historians, philosophers, as well as accountants and people who actually do real banking, to try and understand this connection between the technical stuff that they do and the professional ethos that I was talking about that we want to see come into play.
Yeah. So you're speaking about this as part of Oxford May Music. Can you tell me a bit about the history?
I know about May Music because I know Brian Foster, who set it up. My guess is about half a dozen years ago. And it began with a bunch of physicists celebrating the interest in music that Einstein had in his life. And there was a whole period, three or four days, of showing what Einstein had been interested in. And it seemed like a rather strange few days in which there were talks about physics for people like me, not physicists, so that we could understand. Kind of all around this rather wonderful music. And it was such a success, everyone said to Brian, do it again. and gradually it sort of, next year, more physics and more interesting music. But it gradually stumbled out of just physics and music and away from Einstein to people in the university talking about the things they're working on, surrounded by some wonderful music. Near my talk is a Beethoven string quartet. You couldn't imagine something more pleasurable to be giving a talk next to a Beethoven string quartet.
Fantastic. And that's all happening on Friday the 29th.
That's right. So it's end of the week.
Yes. Perfect. So it's your talk first, And then the concert.
That's right, yes.
Lovely. So economics fits in with the science part. So is it considered like a political science then?
Well, you can see from my talk, it is partly politics, partly technique. I'm one of those people who began life as a mathematician and physicist and ended up doing things that philosophers are interested in. So I actually think this, the two cultures story, which we know from that famous novel from way back, some people are like that, but I don't think it's right to think about the world that way. And I think you'll find a lot of people who do both science or arts don't think about this way. Look at Brian Foster, set up May Music. That's not two cultures stuff. And there are a lot of people in the humanities interested in the scientific projects, which he and his colleagues, people lecturing in these lectures, have talked about.
Mm. Thank you very much.
Thanks.